Good morning. My name is Reverend Randall Massengill. I'm the pastor at Lafayette First United Methodist Church. We are located at 301 South Main Street in Lafayette, Georgia. Our worship services are at 9 a.m. and 11 a.m. Thank you for giving us the opportunity to worship with you.
I am glad to be with you. I'm not glad for the reason why I have to be with you. Continue to pray for your pastor. And hopefully he'll get out into a room today or tomorrow. And that means he'll be on the mend. But folks, it's going to take a while for him to regain his strength. If you've ever had any dealings with bronchial lung issues, you know that just saps your energy. So be patient with him. Continue to pray for him and his family. I told the early service he chose the wrong time to get sick, because we're booked for the next 2 weeks, and so we can't be back until later. It was the decision made about communion.
I think we'll do it the second week.
Communion will be celebrated the second Sunday in February, and that's the reason we can't be here on the first Sundays, because we have been being at Cedar Grove. They're without a pastor, and I'm there on the first Sunday of the month to help them celebrate the feast. And so if you'll just switch that to the second Sunday, then we can be back here and we can celebrate the Lord's table together. If you look on the back of your bulletin or look in your Bible, you'll find today's text. If you keep up with the lectionary, you know that this is not on the lectionary for today. This was on the lectionary for the last Sunday in the old year. But I think it's a text that speaks to us in all seasons. The title for today is Garments for All Seasons. Isaiah 61:10 through 62:3. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul will exult in my God. For he has clothed me with garments of salvation. He has wrapped me with a robe of righteousness. As a bridegroom decks himself with a garland, and as a bride adorns herself with her jewels. For as the earth brings forth its sprouts, and as a garden causes the things sown in it to spring up, so the Lord God will cause righteousness and praise to spring up before all the nations. For Zion's sake, I will not keep silent. And for Jerusalem's sake, I will not keep quiet until her righteousness goes forth like brightness and her salvation like a torch that is burning. And the nations will see your righteousness and all kings your glory. And you will be called by a new name, which the mouth of the Lord will designate. You will also be a crown of beauty in the hand of the Lord and a royal diadem in the hand of your God. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Father, teach us from your word. Speak to us in the power of your spirit. Attune the ears of our heart and soul to hear your voice this day in the sound and in the silence that we celebrate together in the name of Christ. Amen. Isaiah could have said that he was raised right. You know what raised right means? This is yes, this is no. You know, it may be a southern thing, you know, how that you're raised to go to church when you don't want to. You're taught by Sunday school teachers, you're preached at by preachers, and you're converted, you're saved, you have a Damascus Road experience, you feel good and warm and fuzzy, and it may be that you've been converted and saved and baptized and then confirmed, maybe, if you're not Baptist but Methodist and along that order. But you notice Isaiah did not locate the reason of his rejoicing in himself or in his experience. As valid as our experiences are, that's not the reason our soul should exult in our God, or that we should greatly rejoice in Him. Notice in the text what he says. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. I will exult in my God, for He has clothed me with garments of salvation. Now you have it. He's given us a robe of righteousness, which we cannot earn, deserve, or work out effectively in our living. So for the aged writer, it was something God had done, not something he had mastered, something that he had treasured. It was God's doing, and it was marvelous in his eyes. You remember the season of the Epiphany? The time the Magi got there, they could have worshipped the star that led them to the place. And they did, by the way, relish the star on the way, of course. But when they got there, the reason for their being there was the infant king. And they fell down and they worshipped him and offered him gifts, precious gifts. They rejoiced in the infant king, not in their gifts, not in the means by which they got there, but in the king himself, the word become flesh. So he has clothed us with garments of salvation, a robe of righteousness. How can we recognize this wardrobe he has put on us? How can we recognize, how can we identify with these things that He has placed on us as gifts from His kingdom? What are they? Well, there's a whole wardrobe of them, and we're not going to go through all of them. We're just going to go through three. We're Methodists, you know, so we only have three. And one of them is an undaunting acceptance of others or of each other. Undaunting is a gerund. That means it's an ongoing progressive action. It's not something we can accomplish. We say, once we've accomplished it, I got it done, now I'm going to move on to something else. It's something we may have to struggle with. And I don't know about you, but I run across people I have to struggle with accepting them and their behavior. I call no names. They may be present. You know, if I met someone who had been jailed as a rapist, spent their time, I honestly don't know what I would do in that person's presence. You name the offense that is hideous to you. It makes no difference what it is. But there are people whom we meet in life who practice these things. They may not even want to, but they can't seem to help it. An undaunting acceptance of them is that we accept them for who they are, not as for who we want them to be. We accept them for who they are without any compromise in their activity. There was a preacher one time who went down to New Orleans. Charlie. He went down there to save all the prostitutes. Well, he fell in with them, of course. He saved no one. He became a part of their productivity. That's compromise. Accepting someone without compromising is to, in the old adage, it's to love the sinner, but not the sin. There's no compromise in that. It's just when we start doing the same sinning together, that's when I've compromised. And you've lost any reason to look elsewhere for salvation. and undaunting acceptance of others is to embrace them where they are. Why? Because God embraces us in our perversities. God embraces us in our sinfulness. He does not say, "Now you, Ty, you go get cleaned up now and get straightened out and I will embrace you." The old hymn is beautiful at this. "Just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me." This undaunting acceptance is a way in which we can reach the world, and it needs not to be false or fake. They're the first to know, you know. It's just like children. I shared this at the earlier service. We were here 2000, 2005, and we didn't have these handrails then. Oh, goodness, that's great. And the kids would come down, and we had the Wonder Box. How many remember the Wonder Box? Right? And you remember the Sunday, but somehow we got the conversation. I said, "Tell me, kids, how many times do your parents have to tell you to do something before you do it?" And you remember Ryan McCormick when he was little? And he said, "Oh, 7 or 8. And everybody laughed, of course. And then I said, "Well, Ryan, why do you wait that late?" And he said, "Because they don't mean it until then." Boy, y'all different from others. Nobody laughed then. The world knows when we're fake. They know when our acceptance of them is based on something that's not realistic. They don't want us to join them. They want us to hold them. Amen. As He holds us. Well, that, and then there's another garment of salvation called unqualifying mercy. The undaunting acceptance is an outer garment. The unqualifying mercy is the undergarment, which gives shape and form to the outer garment. If you ain't got the undergarment of mercy, then your acceptance is going to be false. It's going to be fickle. And it won't last. He has robed us with an unqualifying mercy. How do we know? Because we are the first recipients of that mercy also. Without Him in His unlimited measure of mercy for us, we would probably start fighting among ourselves, giving in to human nature. And human nature is, "You're going to have to live right before I can really like you." But the Father's unqualifying mercy to us is a mercy that receives us in our sinfulness. "While we were yet sinners," writes Paul to Rome, "while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." And this is the mercy that gives validity to the acceptance. These two go hand in hand. If you've got one without the other, then neither is useful. But it's that third garment I want to spend a little time on. And that's the garment of swaddling clothes. For you see, a lot of religions teach acceptance and mercy. But the only religion that teaches of swaddling clothes is the Judeo-Christian faith and Shintoism, which has been seriously affected by that. Swaddling, that's an old word. It's an antiquated word. But it's a beautiful word. It's a word of mystery and mystique. What are swaddling clothes? Those are clothes that are soft enough for a vulnerable baby, but strong enough for a king. You see, it was an infant king in that manger. And when we say we believe in the incarnation, the Word become flesh, we become distinctively Christian in this. No one else bears this message but us. And if we don't believe in the incarnation, then we've got little validity in the crucifixion and no validity in the resurrection. For if He had not become us, then His act was also fickle and futile and false. eternal God clothed himself in swaddling clothes. And he laid in a manger. He was vulnerable to his creation. Open. Willing to let us treat him as we will. And he wants from us as the church to do no less than this with the world. To become vulnerable to that creation out there that still groans in travail for perfection and for fullness. He wants us to wear vulnerability to those in need. And in that vulnerability, point to an infant king. Point to an incarnation. Point to an act of God that the Word became flesh. And in us he wants the Word to continue to become flesh for the world. That the world may see him, know him, reach out to him. For he is already embracing them. They just don't recognize his presence. Yes. Everyone who is broken, which is all of us, of course. We're all broken in our own way. That's why he puts this on us. He clothes us in garments of salvation, a robe of righteousness which we cannot earn. What have we got on today? I'm not talking about coats and shirts and blouses and pants and shoes and socks and that kind of thing. What are we wearing today that when we leave this place, people will take notice that he is the difference in us? That we belong to him. And will we recognize them in such a way that he can put his arms around them too? So that they too will know, even in their wrongness, he has made them right in Christ Jesus. That is our message, you see. So you see, it's garments for all seasons, not just Advent and Christmas and Epiphany, but for Lent and Easter and Kingtide and Pentecost. For wherever we go and whoever we meet, we become a people through whom the infinite God makes himself known and visible through our submission to him. It's not us. It's these garments he's put on us that makes the difference. And he's put them on us all. And he wants us to wear them with pride. I'm proud to be a child of the King, aren't you? Huh?
Amen.
Well, finally. You sure about that now? Well, I tell you where it will matter more. Not in this room. Go and be God's people. Go and be someone who's not afraid to wear swaddling clothes. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.